It's your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC for 20 great years has the best OTR on our live streaming. And continue tuning in to the Radio Book Channel, along with the RTC Music Channel, all at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's podcast for the RTC. I'm Jim Dolan, your host for this 90 minutes or so. It's been a while since we've been way out west, so we're going to go way, way out west. That is, out west and also back in time to hear a couple of good programs, including Gunsmoke and Gene Autry. But we're going to start off with something for the kids. Here's the Cisco Kid and Sir Cisco, Knight of the Round Table.
Here's adventure. Here's romance. Here's the famous Robin Hood of the Old West.
Cisco, the sheriff, he is getting closer.
This way, Pancho, Vamano.
The Cisco Kid.
Like the magician who pulls a rabbit out of the hat with a few words of magic, you can pull a good meal out of the bread box with just six well-chosen words.
Tut, tut, nothing but butternut bread.
Words of pure magic when it comes to serving a good breakfast, a nourishing lunch, or a filling, satisfying dinner. Good butternut bread. It's just like saying abracadabra over a hungry family. Butternut is fresh, it's rich, it's soft and white and tender. And butternut bread is nourishing bread, too. It's enriched with extra vitamins and minerals, the quick food energy we all need. And most important, butternut's nourishing goodness lasts right down to the last tender slice. You'll never have to waste a single slice. So next time you buy bread, buy the loaf in the blue and white checked gingham picture wrapper. Good butternut bread.
The Cisco Kid in our exciting story, Sir Cisco, Knight of the Round Table. The brawling, sprawling western frontier of our country in the 1870s was the melting pot for many nations and many customs. People from every strata of society journeyed to this new land, most of them in search of a common goal, a home of their own. There were some few whose lust was not satisfied with this measure of security. Their greed was responsible for some of the dark pages of history. Our story opens with two desperados whose names are listed high on those black pages.
This way, Dell, to the top of the knoll.
And stirrup to stirrup with your spike. Keep going.
This is far enough. Whoa, Bronco.
Whoa there.
Up here you can get a layout of the entire spread.
Hey, that's really something, ain't it?
What'd I tell you? You ever see anything like it before?
Yeah, once.
Where?
Back in New Orleans. Went into a place they call an art museum. They had a painting of a castle there. Looked like this here house in front of us.
I reckon a museum's the only spot you see anything like this, except maybe back in England.
Yeah, looks like they transported every stone, rock, and stick of that castle they got built here from England.
For all I know, maybe they did. They also brought over a trunk full of money and jewels.
Now, that's what really interests me, Spike. But how in tarnation can we break into a place like that? How do we get across that ditch around it that's filled with water?
It might not be as hard as you think, Del. Now, look over that big gate on the other side of the water.
Hey, look! They're lowering that gate so it'll span the water.
That's what they call a drawbridge. Now, wait till you get a load of what comes riding across that bridge.
Holy suffering snakes. Well, what do you know?
I figured that'd get you. How do you like that old geezer dressed in that suit of armor?
Galloping around like a kid playing games.
He's a little Teshdale. That old loony is the key to our getting into that castle.
Well, why do we have to bother with him?
Because of his daughter. She takes care of the old buzzard. Guards him like a hawk. Though you can't see her, she's watching him now, I betcha. She's a crack shot with a Winchester.
Look at that old goat. Look at him. Waving that lance and charging around like a kid with a toy.
Come on, Del. Here's my plan. Now we ride to the bottom of this mesa and hide among them trees down there.
Yeah. Yeah, I see him.
Now we make some kind of sound to attract the old man. Get him to ride into the woods to investigate.
I gotcha. He'll be out of sight of the castle and we can jump him.
Right. I'll change clothes with him. I'll put on his tin can suit of armor with that helmet over my head.
The old goat's daughter won't know it ain't him. It's a cinch she let you ride right into the castle.
I don't figure to meet any trouble in getting what we're after. Only the old man and his daughter live in that house.
Yeah. You want me to stay in the woods and guard the old man or knock him out and ride up to the house once you're in?
Dale, I learned long ago, never leave a witness to a job and the law can never touch you. Do the same to the old man as I'm going to do to the gal. Kill him.
Get up! Get up there, get up!
You mean these peoples build a house to live in what look like a honest-to-goodness-for-real castle, Cisco?
That is what I have heard, Pancho.
Pan, you sure want to see this? You say you got a wall all the way around the house?
So I have heard. You seem to forget I have not seen it any more than you have.
Cisco, if the wall are all around the house, how they get in and out?
Well, from what I have read about castles, I think they probably have a drawbridge which they can let down.
Drawbridge?
You will soon see for yourself. Judging from the directions we got, the castle should be just over that last rise of ground.
Pancho, race you there and beat you. So Pancho, see you first. Go, 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 go!
Up, Gabby, hurry, ha!
Faster, Lobo, faster! This time you gotta beat Diablo!
Easy, Diablo, easy. Slow down, let them win. Yeah.
Yippee, yippee, yippee! We're winning, Lobo! Go!
Go ahead and win, Pancho. Poor Santos is like a little niño.
Oh, look, Juana, who? Madre mía, look at the castle.
I see it, Chico. Oh, Diablo, ho, ho, walk, walk.
On guard, varlet.
It cannot be. An hombre dressed like a knight in armor. Oh, Diablo, ho.
Couch, high lance, and prepare for battle. Sir Hubert throws down the gauntlet to you. Forward, steed!
Pancho, look out! That hombre's after you!
Go, Lobo, go, go, go!
Hola, hombre! Put up your horse! We do not want to fight!
Cisco, Cisco! Pancho is stuck in the back with a big stick!
Look, hombre, is liable to hurt Pancho with that lance! Up the other, come on! As soon as I get my rope loose, now! Get out of here, ha!
Pancho and I can get away from this local maverick!
Now, hombre! Put a stop to this! Come down off the horse! Hold on, ho, ho, ho!
Bueno, Cisco, bueno, gracias. Hold up, hold up, hold up. Pancho didn't even try to catch that coyote's caballo.
You better see if this hombre I roped is hurt. Sí, señor.
Hold up, hold up, hold up. That local maverick, why he chase after Pancho with that big pointed stick?
Well, maybe we'll learn the reason if he is not knocked out.
The face of the helmet opened like a little door when you lift it, Cisco. Hombre's eyes open too.
Verily and forsooth, knave, I will not yield to thee.
Well, what kind of talk that, Cisco?
Let us try to get this hombre on his feet, then perhaps we'll find out. Doesn't seem to be anything the matter with you, senor. Can you get up?
Do not attempt to beguile me with words of peace, varlet. My physical condition is unaffected. Only the pride of Sir Hubert Thaddeus Fig has suffered.
Pancho think he's savvy what that hombre say, but Pancho not sure.
Deliver, if thou wilt, the death blow to this noble knight. I, Sir Hubert, will not yield.
Why you talk about the night when this is the daytime?
Get in front of him and pull while I push, Pancho. Maybe we can get him on his feet.
Very heavy with this tin suit on his look.
There.
Bueno, he on his feet. Phew. Oh, with that tin suit on, he weigh even more than Pancho.
Unhand me, villain. No mortal man shall stay the fulfillment of my quest for the Holy Grail. I have taken a vow not to partake of earthly food until success crowns Sir Hubert Thaddeus Fig's knightly wish.
We will help you out of this armor, senor, and then perhaps we can make sense out of all this.
Ha! Thou seekest to disarm and to remove the protection from this noble knight. Thy treachery is fit recourse for thy sly mistress, Morgan Le Fay.
Yeah, right, come, Cisco, and he coming fast.
Yes, señorita.
It is fair Guinevere. And if thou dost not pay her homage, My blade will lop off thy head.
Chihuahua, the bullet that Senorita shoot go through the brim of Pancho's sombrero.
She used that Winchester and rides that horse like a true vaquero. Senorita, put up that gun!
Whoa! Whoa, boy!
Not point that gun at us, Senorita. Make Pancho very nervous.
Keep your hands away from your gun belt and you've nothing to fear. Unless you've done some harm to my father.
We did no harm. But it is a wonder your padre did not hurt Pancho, Senorita Guinevere.
My name is not Guinevere. It's Julie. Julie Fig.
I think I begin to understand, Senorita Julie. Your padre's imagination takes him back to the stories of King Arthur and the Round Table, and he sees you as Queen Guinevere.
Why do they eat their dinners at the Round Table so they able to eat more?
The keen edge of my blade Excalibur cries for action at hearing the insults of this country bumpkin.
Yeah, not so. Pancho, not fat as a pumpkin, you mealy mad loco.
Pancho!
Pancho, not fat!
Better stop him, Senorita. He will get hurt.
Ha-ha! The threat! I will fight both of them and slay them simultaneously, even as St. George slew the dragon.
The next bullet won't be aimed at the ground. Now, you two, get on your horses and get out of here.
Very well, Senorita Julie. Come on, Pancho.
The boat got to be local.
Please say no more, Pancho. Mount up.
Pancho, don't do it, Chisco.
I have one word of good advice to you and your padre, Senorita Julie. In this part of the country, it is better to make friends, not enemies of people.
I don't need your advice.
Do you not realize, Senorita, that people will understand you have a problem with your padre? You need help before he gets you into real trouble by killing someone.
Cease and desist the waggling of thy tongue. Hie thyself hence, or I'll run thee through.
Go on, get out of here.
What is the use? Up, Diablo, come on.
Yeah, what is the use? Go, loco, go now, go, go, go.
Keep your horse quiet, Dale.
That's all right, Spike. That gal and her loony old man are already back in that castle house of theirs. They can't hear this cayuse.
Did you see the look on that gal's face after Cisco and Pancho rode away?
Yeah. Who'd ever expect to bump into that jayhawk of Cisco and his fat partner way out here? Lucky we kept quiet long as we did.
Yeah, we'd be whistling another tune if he'd run into a slug in that old geezer. But he didn't, and he smoothed the way for us to get into that castle.
How do you mean?
The look on the gal's face. She took what Cisco said to heart. Now, I'm of her mind she'll open that drawbridge gate and let us ride in without so much as a how do you do.
You willing to take a chance and find out?
I sure am. Let's go.
She's liable to open fire on us as soon as we get into range.
Yeah.
Go on, get.
I don't reckon she will. She knows she needs help with her father.
Dr. Del Tustin? Oh, hey, that's an idea. I'll make believe I am a doctor. And my first advice will cost her that trunk of jewels and money.
That's exactly what I had in mind, Doctor. I think I also got a plan so the Cisco kid and Poncho will be blamed for this whole job.
That's what I really like to hear. We get the money, and Cisco and Pancho get blamed for the murder.
And if the plan of the two desperados succeeds, Cisco and Pancho will be in a dire predicament. In just a moment, we'll return to The Cisco Kid.
Give yourself and your family a break every day. Start every morning with a good big breakfast. Because a good breakfast means a good morning. And a good breakfast means...
Tut, tut, nothing but butternut bread.
Start every day the healthful way with several good big slices of crisp golden brown butternut toast, dripping with rich yellow creamery butter. Sound good? It is good. And good for you, too. Experts tell us that everybody needs a good breakfast every day with plenty of the nourishing foods like butternut bread, made from healthy, nutritious wheat and enriched with extra vitamins and minerals. Quick food energy for folks who use up that energy quick at home, at school, or at work. So remember, a good breakfast means a good morning. And a good breakfast means...
Tut, tut, nothing but butternut bread.
And now back to the Cisco Kid in our gripping story, Sir Cisco, Knight of the Round Table. When Cisco and Pancho come to view a strange castle-like house, they are attacked by a figure in ancient armor and carrying a lance. They learn he is an Englishman whose name is Hubert Figg. His daughter Julie makes Cisco and Pancho leave the scene of the encounter when she thinks they were responsible for the fight. Unknown to all of them, this is witnessed by Spike Barbie and Del Tustin, who are intent on robbing Hubert and Julie, then murdering them and blaming the whole thing on Cisco and Pancho. As the two killers ride toward the castle, they are seen by their intended victims.
Behold, Guinevere. Gaze through yonder portcullis and view the new attackers who approach our stronghold.
Now, Dad, that's enough of that kind of talk. It's gotten us into a precious heap of trouble already.
I regret the inconvenience extremely, Julie, dear. It's just that I get carried away with it all. Dash it. I'll attempt better behavior. I will.
Those two riders aren't the same ones that I chased off.
No. I told you they were strangers, Julie.
No doubt they've come to poke a finger of ridicule at us with their inquisitive liberties. I'd better run them off.
Shall I mount up on my spirited charger and sally forth to repel them, fair Guinevere?
Please, Father, not again.
I go to gird myself for battle.
Dad, listen, I mean it. Stop this nonsense.
But see here, what I mean... Oh, humbug. Very well, I will do as you request, Julie.
Oh, perhaps that Cisco chap who gave me the unwanted advice is right after all. You there! Stop your horses! What is it you want, please?
Who are you? Whoa now. Howdy, ma'am. A very pleasant good day to you, ma'am.
They have the look of knaves about them. Beware.
Father, for the last time, be silent, if you please.
Very well. I shan't speak again ever.
Good grief. Tell me, what is it you want, please?
We'd like to buy some grub. Food, ma'am. The doctor here would like to rest a spell.
Doctor? Did I hear correctly? Is your companion a doctor?
That's right, ma'am. Dr. Delbert Tustin.
Father, I wonder if we dare ask him about our problem. Father, you heard me. Can't you answer? Oh, what in the world is the matter with you? Oh, yes, you did say that you wouldn't speak again ever. Very well. I'm going to chance allowing the doctor and his friend to enter. Perhaps they can help us. You needn't come along. I can lower the drawbridge by myself. And you can cease being so stubborn about not talking. I'm not of a mind to plead with you today. As soon as I release the latch... There. Turn the gear handle. Just because I don't follow the same procedure you do doesn't mean it's not all right. Are you still there?
Yeah, we sure are, ma'am. And we still can't get in, even though you did lower the bridge.
I'll descend and throw open the gates to the courtyard. Just a moment, please. Now, Father, please don't do anything to embarrass me. Do ride in here, won't you?
Sure we will, ma'am. Get up!
Get up there, get up. You certainly keep this place well guarded.
A whole troop of cavalry couldn't storm these walls.
Whoa now.
Please, permit me to introduce my father and myself. This is Mr. Hubert Figg, and I'm Julie Figg.
Glad to know you, Julie. I'm Spike Barbie.
And I'm Del Tustin. Well, what's the matter? Can't your father talk?
Well, yes, but frankly, I'd like to converse with you privately about it, Doctor.
Well, what do you know, Doctor? She wants to gab with you in private.
Why, what's the meaning of this? Why, you're not a doctor at all.
Drive the crazy old cougar. I'll take her.
Yeah, leave him to me.
Fie on thee, thou cowardly rapscallions. If Sir Hubert Thaddeus Figg had but a mace, thou wouldst acquire lumps on the noggin.
Shut up, you fatty old blabbermouth.
Stop it! Stop it, you filthy brutes! Who hurt him?
He ain't hurt, Beth. He's only knocked out.
Who are you? What do you want?
You're asking. Now, here it is. There's a trunk here loaded with money and jewelry. Lead us to it, or your old man ain't gone to live.
There, that castle up ahead, Cisco.
Si, Pancho. Slow down. Oh, diablo. Walk
oh,
now, walk.
Oh, look, oh, now. Oh, oh, oh. You know, Pancho still thinks we do the wrong thing by going back to that señorita with the gun and that loco hombre with the sword and the long pointed stick.
That viejo with the armor is the reason we are returning, Pancho. Señorita Julie needs help with him. More than she realizes.
Look, Cisco, that gotta be her. Yeah, a gun poked through one of the slots in the castle wall.
Oh, remain where you are.
Oh, diablo, ho, ho.
Oh, look, ho, look, ho.
Señorita Julie, por favor, let me speak with you.
She not listen.
I've decided to take the advice you gave me when you were here before.
Bueno, señorita.
And in return, I have some good advice for you. Don't dare advance another step nearer this castle. Not if you value your lives.
There. You see, Cisco? This is what Pancho told us you'd do. We waste our time.
Very well, señorita. Since that is your attitude, we will leave. Come on, Pancho. Around this way, diablo. Come on.
Turn around the other way, loco. Go now, go. Pancho knows it all the time, Cisco. Maybe that señorita's loco is her padre.
No, amigo. Señorita Julie is in trouble. She tried to warn us. She may have saved our lives.
What? How do you know this, Cisco? Pancho didn't hear her say nothing like that.
Think back to what I told her, the advice I gave her. Do you remember?
Si, Pancho remember. Pancho think it's something about it better to make friends than the enemies, no?
That is right. And the señorita said she had decided to take that advice.
But she warned us she'd kill us if we come closer.
No, no. She only said we must not come near the house if we valued our lives. She was trying to tell us she needed help.
What you going to do? What you going to do?
Get into the castle tonight?
That's not possible. Then the way to get across the water, except to swim. No, Cisco.
See, that is the only way.
The Pancho tells you before, Cisco, but this time it come true. If you try to swim across that water to get into that castle, you'll be killed.
Stay where you are. Keep the gal there.
What's the matter, Dale?
I'll be right up the stairs and tell you.
What are you so excited about?
You realize what Julie said to Cisco and his partner?
Well, she done what I told her. She told him to get out of here.
No, she didn't. She warned them they'd lose their lives if they came any closer. And what was that mumbo-jumbo about the advice?
That's right. With me standing beside her and holding a gun to ribs.
Yeah.
I ought to lay a hand across your face a couple of times, gal. You asked for it.
I've done nothing but what you asked me.
I'll learn you not to lie to me.
Hold on, Spike, hold on. This ain't gonna do us any good. If Cisco and Pancho are forewarned, they may be going after help.
We gotta stop him. If we can decoy him into the castle, we ought to be able to dry gulch him.
What's the matter with the gal? Use her.
Yeah.
What do you intend with that gun?
Bring your big hero back in here to your rescue.
I reckon that's gonna do it, Spike. Cisco and Pancho are headed back here at a high gallop. They sure are anxious to die.
But you say yourself this lab would be a trap, Cisco. If we run that castle, we'd be in great danger.
The señorita and her padre are already in danger, Pancho.
Oh,
there, ho, ho.
Oh, look, ho, look, ho, ho.
What is the matter, señorita?
I need your help. I need it desperately.
What is the matter?
It's my father. I need help with him.
Pancho, not believe that, Cisco.
She must have a reason for saying it. What do you want us to do, señorita?
Leave your guns out there, and I'll lower the drawbridge so you can ride in.
No. We not never do this.
You want us to leave our guns, señorita?
I'm afraid if you wear them, it will incite my father to greater anger.
No, Cisco, no.
If we're going to help her, I'm sure now that someone is behind those walls giving her those orders.
All right, Pancho, do it, too. Oh,
thank you. I'm most grateful.
Madre mía, that bridge coming down, Cisco.
Sí. Come on, Pancho. Hot there, come on.
Go, Lobo, over the bridge. Now, Pancho, sabe how you get across the drawbridge.
Now, be alert, Pancho. Listen to me. If there is an ambush inside the castle, it will happen as soon as we ride beneath that arch.
What we can do?
When you get exactly under the protection of the arch, stop the horse and stay there, savvy?
Si. What about you?
I will catch hold of the guard railing as we pass into the arch and climb up the outside wall. Pretend to talk to the viejo while you sit wait under the arch. Now, here goes. Pancho can only distract them.
Hey, say, sir, Hubert Grapes or Plums or what your name? Why do you not come out?
Bueno, Pancho. Hope he keeps it up.
Pancho, want you to chase him with that sharp point stick or the sword again?
Soon be at the top of the wall and...
Hey, say, sir, Hubert Apples or Dates or Figs? Figs. That's the name. Sir Hubert Figs. Where'd you at?
Now, carefully.
I told you you shouldn't have brought the old coot up here, too.
I reckon we can use the gal here to flush him out. Answer him, Julie. Tell him your paw's in the house.
Cisco! Pancho! Take care! It's an ambush!
Blasted gal! Del Tustin and Spike Barbie, you coyote!
I missed. Get him, Del!
You will never get the chance! Use that gun again!
Out of the way, Spike!
See, Tustin right into you!
Bravo, Cisco! You floored him with that punch.
Now for you, Spike.
I ain't gonna quit like Del.
You will not have to. I will do it for you.
Oh, bully for you, Cisco. That blow sent him clear off the ledge down to the courtyard.
He will live, senorita. Both these coyotes will live to pay for their crimes to the law.
Cisco.
Si, Pancho.
Just like you tell that same little Julie, both those bandidos get sent to the jail for a long time.
Well, they well deserved it.
And that Sir Hubert Figs deserved to get better, too, no?
Well, now that he is in the hands of a real doctor, he'll receive good care.
He not hurt nobody. He just got an awful good imagination.
That is true, Chico. But it would be better for him to learn the difference between imagination and reality.
Yeah, or he go logo crazy like Pancho's cousin Gordo.
Your cousin Gordo is going crazy?
Sí, Cisco, he go crazy. Every place he go, he see the beautiful señoritas following him.
Oh, he only imagines it.
Sí, that's why Gordo go crazy.
Oh, Pancho.
Oh, Cisco.
Abiamo!
And so ends another exciting adventure with O. Henry's famous Robin Hood of the West, the Cisco Kid.
A big family, a big meal to prepare, and a small budget. That's what you might call the eternal triangle. And there's just one fine way to help you solve it. Just see to it that you serve more...
Tut, tut, nothing but butternut bread.
Yes, serve more good butternut bread. More of it, more often. For example, make a leftover meal taste like something special with the simple addition of several slices of butternut bread. Serve it toasted and maybe sprinkled with cheese or garlic salt. Or serve it toasted under those creamed leftovers. Or in big delicious sandwiches with yesterday's beef roast, sliced just the right thickness. Dozens of ways that butternut can help you build a better budget meal. Yes, if you've a big family and a small budget, remember, serve more butternut bread. Pick up the only loaf in the blue and white check gingham picture wrapper. Good butternut bread. You'll like it. Everybody does.
Be sure to listen again for another thrilling adventure of the Cisco Kid. Cisco Kid was played by Jack Mather, Pancho by Harry Lang. That's the Cisco Kid on the RTC Weekly Podcast. We're going to have our next Western coming up shortly, but first I want to remind all of you that you're listening to the RTC, and RTC stands for the Radio Theater Channel. Now, that's a streaming audio station on your internet device, your phone, your computer, what have you. You want to check that out if you like old-time radio. www.oldtimeradiolisten.com, the Radio Theater Channel. Next up, we're going to hear from Gene Autry, and this one's called Pat is Kidnapped, and the first song is Cowboy Joe.
He's back in the saddle again.
Yes, it's time once again for Melody Ranch and Gene Autry.
I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly Jimson weed. I'm back in the saddle again.
That's right, folks. It's another visit with all the gang here at Melody Ranch. There's Pat Buttram, the Cass County Boys, the Gene Autry Blue Jeans, Carl Kottner's Melody Ranch Hardway 6 featuring Alvino Ray, and yours truly, Charlie Lyon. Right now, though, meet the boss man himself, America's favorite cowboy, Gene Autry.
He always sings reggae music to the cattle as he swings back and forward in a saddle on a horse at a syncopated gait, and it's such a funny meter to the roar of his repeater how they run when they hear the fellas come, cause the western folks all know he's a highfalutin' scootin' shootin' son of a gun from Arizona, ragtime Cowboy Joe.
Out in Arizona where the bad men are, the only thing to guide you is an evening star. The roughest, toughest man by far is ragtime Cowboy Joe. He got his name for singing to the cows and sheep. Every night they sing, he sings a herd to sleep. In a basso, rich and deep, crooning soft and low.
He always sings ragged music to the cattle as he swings back and forward in a saddle on a horse at a syncopated gait, and there's such a funny meter to the roar of his repeater how they run when they hear the fellas come, cause the western folks all know he's a highfalutin' scootin' shootin' son of a gun from Arizona, ragtime cowboy. Talk about your cowboy, ragtime Cowboy Joe.
Well, hello there everybody, and welcome once again to Melody Ranch. Cass County Boys, really wonderful. And now, neighbors, here's one of the bigger current tunes making the musical rounds of the nation these days. Goes as follows.
We were waltzing together to a dreamy melody when they called out, change partners, and you waltzed away from me. Now my arms feel so empty as I gaze around the floor. And I'll keep on changing partners till I hold you once more. One moment, and too soon we had to part. In that wonderful moment, something happened to my heart. So I'll keep changing partners till you're in my arms, and then, oh my darling, I will never change partners again.
Well, thank you, good friends. Many, many thanks. And now...
Hey, Mr. Artery, guess what?
What?
I just got a letter from home.
Oh, no. How lucky can you be?
Oh, luckier than my Uncle Cecil, I hope.
And what did Uncle Cecil do now?
Well, sir, seems that him and his wife, Aunt Sully, they went to the Women's Auxiliary Bird Watchers Masquerade Social. And anyway, right at midnight, Aunt Sully, she put on one of them scary masks and she slipped up behind Uncle Cecil and she yelled, "Boo, I'm the devil."
I'll bet that went over big. What did Uncle Cecil do?
Nothing. He just said right back to her, he said, "Shake, old man, I married your sister."
Say, Uncle Cecil sounds like a real character to me.
Oh, he's that all right, yeah. In fact, Papa always said that Uncle Cecil was the kind of fella that was too smart to take other people's advice and too dumb to think it up for himself.
Middle of the roader, huh?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Incidentally, I don't think I told you about the new hired hand that Papa's got working around the place for him now.
No, I don't think you did. What about him?
Oh, nothing, except that he's so lazy that Papa had to sharpen all the tree stumps around the place. Of course, Mama and Papa, they live way out in the country, you know, and it's kind of hard to get good help out there.
Oh, I see. How far out in the country do you folks live, Patrick?
Oh, way out, Mr. Artery, believe me, way out. In fact, Papa used to say to us kids, he says, "Boys, if the mail don't come in 2 more hours, it must be Sunday."
Brother, I've heard everything now.
Oh, no, you ain't, no. Papa also says that things have been so tough lately that we've only been able to feed the chickens twice a week.
There. Twice a week?
Yeah.
Say, that's getting bad.
Oh, you can say that again. Just last week, one of the poor little undernourished hens, she laid an egg, and it was just an empty shell with a note in it that said, "When I get it, you'll get it."
You know, that's what I call no yolk at all.
May I continue now?
By all means, please do, yes. Be my guest, will you?
Well, thank you. Papa does mention one good piece of news, though.
Oh?
Yeah. Seems my cousin Hastings is finally doing a little bit better in school.
Is that
yes,
so?
Sir.
Hastings, huh?
Yeah, he's doing fine.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, me too. Special since when he first started out, he couldn't even spell cat.
C-A-T?
No. Howsoever, after going to school for just 3 years, would you believe it? Now he can spell cat right every time.
You know, that's what I call real progress.
Oh, real proud of him, all right.
Oh, I'll bet you are. Yes, sir. Papa say anything else?
Oh, not much, except... Oh, yeah. He does mention that Aunt Hazel's already been hinting to Uncle Clyde about her this year's Christmas present. Of course, I can understand why, too.
Oh? Why?
Well, last Christmas, she said she wanted something in a fur coat. So Uncle Clyde give her a cat.
Well, at least he's practical.
Oh, him and me both. Which reminds me, would you like to know what I want for Christmas this year?
No, but you might as well tell me now and get it over with.
Okay, listen. All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth, my my two front teeth, my two front teeth. Gee, if I could only have my two front teeth, then I could wish you Merry Christmas. It seems so long since I could say, Sister Susie sitting on a thistle. Gosh, oh gee, how happy I'd be if I could only whistle. All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth, my two front teeth, my two front teeth. Gee, if I could only have my two front teeth, then I could wish you Merry Christmas. Then I could wish you Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas!
Ah, Patrick, you really sent me. There's just one thing, though. I'm not quite sure where. Right now, though, here's a personal musical invitation from the Cass County Boys and the Blue Jeans that goes as follows. Kids?
Y'all come. Y'all come. When you can, y'all come, y'all come, y'all come to see us now and then.
When you live in the country, everybody is your neighbor. On this one thing you can rely,
they all come to see you, and before they leave you, they say, all come see us by and by.
Y'all come,
y'all come,
y'all come,
y'all come.
Y'all come see us when you can.
Y'all come.
Y'all come.
Y'all come.
Y'all come.
Y'all come see us now and then.
Oh, the kinfolks are a-coming. They're coming by the dozen, eating everything from soup to hay.
Hi, the rooster! And right after dinner, they ain't looking any thinner. And here's what you'll hear them say.
Y'all come.
Chicken and dumpling.
Y'all come.
Ain't that something?
Y'all come to see us when you can.
Y'all come.
Cider jug.
Y'all come.
Cut a rug.
Y'all come to see us now and then.
Y'all come. Y'all come. Y'all come.
Oh, that's
fine. Hey, that's
great. Ah, thank you, kids. That was really great. And now, here once again is a song that sounds almost exactly like our newest Columbia record. Matter of fact, I do believe it is. Here's hoping that you continue liking
a voice in the choir from the church in the valley, so sweet and gentle, just sings for me. And though none can hear her in that great congregation, a voice in the choir consoles me tenderly. Our hearts found each other in the church in the valley. I heard her singing, I sinned no more. We made vows together in the church in the valley, to the voice in the choir that I adore. Our years together were golden with love, and we're beholden to him above. Then one day he called her from the church in the valley. Now I am lonely as years pass by, but someday I'll join her, my voice in the choir, in a church in the valley, in the heavenly sky.
You know, just the other day in the mail, I got a request for a credit reference on a good friend of mine named Pat Buttram. Well, sir, I must admit I probably perjured myself into a 20-year jail sentence. But nevertheless, I did state that he was good for anything up to and including $2 cash. My point in mentioning all this, though, is simply this. At the bottom of the aforementioned form was a space left blank for other comments. And that's where I chose to make the following observation. Has slight tendency to exaggerate. Furthermore, as proof of this, I offer the following incident. It all began one morning just outside the bunkhouse door when I made the unquestionable mistake of asking Pat to help me brand a few steers that we've just gotten in.
You know, Mr. Artery, I'm glad you asked me that, because I just happened to remember one time up in the Oregon Territory when I was working on a round up there, and all of a sudden, every other hand on the place come down with chicken pox. So, you know what I did? Well, sir, I'll just tell you what I did. Single-handed, in one day, I wrangled the whole 47,000 head of cattle, branded them, cut out the calves, reset the herd, rode 30 miles into town, and was back before sundown with chicken pox medicine for 200 men. Yes, sir, I'm a riding fool. Well, one time over in Montana, they had to tie a rope around me and drop me down a 10,000-foot gorge with only a compass and a jack.
See what I mean? But going from things general to things specific, I recall one time in particular when Pat got just slightly more than he bargained for. It seems one Friday morning, I think it was, two crooks nobody had ever seen before broke into the Sagebrush post office, got clean away with over $2,000, combination safe and all. At any rate, I remember I was out at the ranch that day it happened, but not Pat. No, sir, not by a long shot. Instead of working, he was down at the Silver Dollar Cafe making Paul Bunyan look like George Washington at the cherry tree.
Yes, sir, Mac. Soon as I heard about them there varmints stealing the post office safe, it reminded me of one time back in Abilene when I was considered the greatest safecracker in the West.
Huh?
Well, I could open any safe built.
Huh?
Used to call me light-fingered Buttram, they did.
Hmm.
Howsoever, luckily for everybody concerned, I was on the side of the law. In fact, it got so that rangers, sheriffs, and marshals for miles around would send for me whenever they needed a safe open.
They would?
Yeah, then I'd sandpaper my fingers right down to a nub, and that quick I could figure out any combination. Well, I was so clever,
hey, I... Hey, that's quite a story you're telling, pal.
Oh, hi, mister. And it ain't no story. It's a truth. Well, one time back in Larrabee...
Now, look, me and my partner would like to hear all about it, but... Let's go some other place. What do you say?
Sure, Jake's right, friend. You, why don't you come on out to our place, huh? That way you can tell us the whole yarn without being interrupted.
Well, now, that's right neighborly, you boys. Yes, sir, if you're really interested in safes, I can talk your ear off. Now, you take, for instance, that time in Larrabee I was telling you about. I was working the tumblers on a safe when all of them...
Funny thing... I first got the idea that something was wrong with Pat when a very unusual thing happened out at the ranch that night. Pat didn't show up for dinner. And if there was one thing in this world Pat wouldn't miss, it was a meal. So when it got to be 7 o'clock and he still hadn't shown up, I decided to ride into the Silver Dollar and do a little checking.
Hi, Gene. How you doing?
Hi, Gene.
Hello, boys. Howdy, Mac.
Well, hiya, Gene. What brings you in here?
Oh, just looking. Haven't seen Pat around, have you?
Why, yeah. He was in a while earlier. But he left with a couple of guys. Must have been close to 3 hours ago.
Who were they, you know?
No, never saw him in my life before. All I know was that Pat was sitting here telling them one of his long-winded stories. about how he could open any safe in the country. When all of a sudden, the three of them just up and went out together.
Oh, no.
Well, what's the matter, Gene?
Think hard, Mac. Did any one of them say anything that might be a hint as to where they were going?
Well, yeah. As a matter of fact, just before they left, Pat come over to the bar and mumbled something about a cabin up on the North River.
Thanks, Mac. Thanks a lot. I'll check with you later. Ten minutes later, just as I hit the outskirts of town, the sky opened up and started to pour. It was a black night. The kind of a night that a cowboy puts all of his faith into the instincts of his horse. What's the matter, champ? What's the matter, boy? I owed my life to Champ that night. Lightning had struck a tree just up the trail ahead, and if he hadn't stopped when he did, well, we'd have been pinned under. But our troubles still weren't over. The trail was extremely narrow at that particular point, which meant if we were going to get to Pat in time, we had to jump the fallen tree trunk. Only from where I sat, it looked like an almost impossible assignment for even Champion. Just the same, though, I decided to at least go back and take a run at it. Okay, Champ. This ought to be far enough. Now, look. I don't have to tell you what I'm asking of you. It's all up to you. You ready? Okay, boy. Let's go. Steady, boy. Steady now. Up we go. Nice going, Champ. You've made it. Now, let's go get Pat.
Fellas, I tell you, I don't really know nothing about opening no safe. Honest, I don't. I was just talking back there at the Silver Dollar.
Hit him again, Ed. Maybe we can refresh his memory.
Oh, no. Oh, please. I was lying then, but I'm telling the truth now. I don't know how to open that safe.
Why, you...
Oh,
never mind, Jake. Forget it. He must have just been gassing through his hat.
Yeah, I thought so from the first. Just the same, we still can't let him leave this cabin alive.
Oh, now, please, fellas, I won't tell on you. Honest, I won't.
You can say that again, pal. Okay, go ahead, Ed. Let's get it over with.
Right.
Oh, please, no!
All right, drop them, both of you.
Drop them, I said.
Mr. Artery, boy, am I glad to see you.
Well, that goes double, Pat. You okay?
Are you kidding? Of course I'm okay. In fact, you could just as well have saved yourself a trip out here, because frankly, just between us, I was just about to use my judo on these varmints. Yes, sir? Reminds me a lot of one time back in Cheyenne. Seems 30 crooks jumped me at the same time. Or was it 40?
And so, that's why on Pat's application for credit, I just had to write, has slight tendency to exaggerate.
Well, believe me, I know what you mean, Gene. But now, to get back to the story for a second, was the stolen money still in the safe?
It sure was, Uncle Charlie. Matter of fact, the very next day, Sheriff Dillon and I went out and got the safe from that very same cabin on the South River.
Hey, now, wait a minute. Hold it. Did you say the South River?
That's right.
But I distinctly remember you saying that Pat told Mac, the bartender, he was going to a cabin out on the North River.
Well, I did say that, Charlie. But, frankly, Pat was such a liar in those days that as soon as he said he was going to the North River, I headed straight for the South River. And sure enough, that's where I found him. And now, neighbors, here's a tune that seems to be getting quite a play all over the country these days. Here is...
Say the sun will never shine again, and say the rose that blooms will never bloom again. But come what may, I know I must have you again. My darling, say you're mine again. Say that spring will never come again, and say the chapel bells will never ring again. No matter what will be, I must be yours again. So darling, say you're mine again.
If I were to lose all the world and its treasure, who cares? Let it be as it may. As long as I have you beside me,
I'll always be happy that way.
Say I'll never see the rain.
And say I'll never hear a sweet refrain again. And say that I was wrong and I'm to blame again. But darling, say you're mine again.
If I were to lose all the world and its treasures, who cares? Let it be as it may, as long as I have you beside me,
I'll always be happy that way.
Say I'll never see the rain again,
and say I'll never hear a sweet refrain again. And say that I was wrong and I'm to blame again. But darling, say you're mine again.
Well, thank you, kind friends. Many, many thanks.
I'm heading for the last round of gonna saddle old Pink for the last time and ride. So long, old pal, it's time your tears were dry. I'm heading for the last round of. Get along, little doggie, get along, get along, get along, little doggie, get along. Get along, little doggie, get along, get along, get along. Doggie, get along. I'm heading for the last round of to the faraway ranch of the boss in the sky.
Boss in the sky.
The strays are counted and branded. There go I. I'm heading for the last round of.
Thank you.
Next week at this same time, Gene Autry and all the gang from Melody Ranch will be heard over these same stations. This is Charlie Lyon inviting you to be tuned our way. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.
And with all that furious fiddling, we end the Gene Autry's Melody Ranch show for this time. And we're now coming to the pearl in the necklace. This is perhaps the most famous of the Westerns on radio, and of course, very popular on television too. It's Gunsmoke, and this one's from 1954, Smoking Out the Beatles.
Gunsmoke, brought to you by L&M Filters with the miracle tip. King size, regular, both at the same low price. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. William Conrad, a transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America, and the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Stage from Hayes got here, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, that's good, Chester.
There wasn't nobody on it, though.
Oh, were you expecting somebody?
No, sir, but that ain't the point.
Oh?
How can they run a stage line without no passengers?
Well, I don't know, Chester, but the fewer people come to Dodge, the less trouble it means.
Yes, sir, but if people don't come here, you wouldn't have a job, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, you think everybody in Dodge right now is an honest, law-abiding citizen, huh?
Oh, no, sir. Is that what I said?
Is this the marshal's office?
Yeah, I'm the marshal. Come on in, mister.
My name's Pat Clay, Marshal.
Ah, how do you do? That's Chester Proudfoot.
Chester? Hello. Marshal, I got bad news for you.
Well, nobody ever came here with good news, as far as I can remember.
But what I got, well, it might get you killed.
Now, is that so?
Now, don't get me wrong. Not by me.
No.
No, sir, I don't shoot people.
But you know somebody who does.
Well, Jim Beadle, that's who.
Jim Beadle?
Here, Marshal, read this. They told me to bring it to you.
Now, this looks like a court order. Who signed it?
Judge Miller. You know him?
Yeah, I know him. Yeah, so Jim Beadle's squatting on some of your land you own up at Stone Point, is that it?
Him and his wife, Marshal. You see, they moved into a side house I built, and they won't leave.
Well, how come they did that? Where were you?
Well, to tell the truth, I let them. I didn't need it for a while, and he was homeless, and so I took pity on him. But I told him only for 2 months, and it's 4 months now. They won't leave, Marshal, and they say they'll shoot me if I ever come near them again.
And you're saying they'll shoot me, too, huh?
Where do you meet him, Marshal? You'll see.
All right, Clay. I'll ride out there tomorrow.
Look at that, Mr. Dillon. What was Clay talking about, a sod house? That's nothing more than a hut. It ain't even got windows, I can see.
Yeah, it isn't much, is it?
Hey, there's Beetle's wife now. Just come out here. What's she carrying a rifle for?
Well, I guess Clay wasn't lying, Chester. I think this is far enough. We'd better get on. Ms. Beetle?
Who are you? You know my name.
I'm Marshal Dillon, ma'am, from Dodge, and this is Chester Proudfoot.
Pleased to meet you, Ms. Beetle.
Who are you looking for?
Nobody, ma'am. I wanted to talk to you and your husband. Is he around?
He's inside.
Well, would you tell him that we're here?
Mr. Beetle?
What?
Come out here. Don't forget your rifle.
Who is that, Claire?
Marshal from Dodge.
What do you want, Marshal?
Beetle, I've got a court order here that says that you've got to move out of that house and off this land.
Clay sent you.
No, Clay didn't send me. But he got the order, and it's legal. And, well, it's my job to carry it out.
I don't know nothing about all that. But we ain't moving.
Look, you can find some land of your own somewhere. Why do you want to squat on somebody else?
This is our land. All around Stone Point here is ours. Bought and paid for.
What do you mean, bought and paid for?
40 acres, paid $1.50 acre for it. Not more than a land is worth. We throwed in the hut and them hogs to boot.
Who did? Who'd you buy it from?
Clay's, who? Come around now saying we don't own it, wants us off of it. I told him last time I'd shoot him if he come near here again.
Clay says that he was letting you live here for a while, helping you out.
For $60, helping me out? I'm working this land, Marshal. Going to farm me some crops here.
It ain't very good land, but we'll make it.
Wait, if this is true, where is your deed for the place?
Deed?
You know, Mr. Beetle, that's that paper Clay gave us when we paid him the money.
Oh, that.
Well, do you have it?
No.
Oh, where is it?
Well, he took it. What he did?
What do you mean, he took it?
Well, that was before he got mean about us moving off of here. Here's what happened. A few weeks back, Clay come by, said he'd be neighborly. He'd take that paper into Dodge and fix it up in the land office first. Something like that. Anyways, he took it.
I see. Then your deed hadn't been registered.
Marshal, I can't even read. I don't know what it was.
Well, do you have any proof that you paid him the money?
I don't need no proof. Other than I'm here and I'm going to stay.
Where did you get the $60, Beagle?
Work for it. Where'd anybody get money less than they steal it? Clay stole mine. This land ain't worth $20. It's poor land.
Then why did you buy it?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe you kind of like the name Stone Point. But I ain't moving, Marshal. Not for Clay, nor for you, nor for nobody.
Well, if you can't prove it's yours, you're going to have to move, Beetle.
Marshal, my old woman's as good a rifle shot as I am.
Practice every day.
You don't know if I'm lying to you or not, do you, Marshal?
No, I don't.
Well, maybe you'll never know. But we ain't moving. Not alive, we ain't.
All right, Beetle, I'll see what I can find at the land office. If your deed's been registered, well, then you're okay.
It don't make no mind to me about that, Marshal. Or about who's lying or who ain't, neither. But we'll kill us anybody comes a-bothering. Now you get on back to Dodge. And you stay there.
That's no use talking, Chester. Let's go.
You tell Clay the same thing. I'll shoot him on sight.
No cigarette ever soared to such heights in so short a time. And still, L&M continues to break sales records everywhere, winning more and more smokers every day.
What's the answer?
It's the filter that counts.
It's the filter that counts. And no filter compares with L&M's Miracle Tip for quality or effectiveness.
This is why L&M gives you much more flavor, much less nicotine. A light and mild smoke.
Remember, only L&M gives you effective filtration. No other cigarette has anything like it. Buy a carton today and you'll say,
this is it, L&M filters, this is it, something new.
Now, two sizes,
L&M filters, you king size and regular too.
This is it,
L&M filters, L&M filters with the miracle tip.
Join the trend to L&M.
King size or regular?
Both at the same low price.
When do you think Marshal Dillon will be back, Chester?
Well, he went over to the land office, Clay, looking up Beetle's deed. But he ought to be back most any time now.
I should have told you them Beetles are nothing but liars. They sure fooled me when I first met them.
Mm-hmm. They are kindly hard to get along with, I'll say that.
I'd do it again, though.
You would?
I mean, help people out just because I got in trouble with them don't mean I ain't never going to help nobody again. I ain't that small a man. Mm-hmm. Oh, hello, Marshal. What'd you find out?
Oh, there's nothing at the land office.
Well, of course there ain't.
I went up to see Judge Miller. He's riding circuit through here now.
What'd he say, Mr. Dillon?
Well, the way things stand, the Beatles have got to move.
Well, I can't feel sorry for them, the way they acted.
Chester.
Yes, sir?
I want you to ride out there and tell them they got a week. 1 week.
Okay, Mr. Dillon.
Well, that's settled. I sure hate to put you to all this trouble, Marshal, but a man can't lose his land.
No, of course not.
Even if it ain't the best land around. Well, I'll be going now. I'll see you next week, after they've got off.
Yeah, sure, Clay.
So long.
So long.
That ain't gonna be easy, Mr. Dillon.
No, it isn't, Chester.
Out in that flat country, you sure can't sneak up on nobody. And Clay says that sod hut's built like a fort. It's got no windows, and the door's 4 inches thick, and with a big bar on the inside, he says there's no way anybody busting in there.
Yeah, it's solid, all right.
Yes, sir. Mr. Dillon, maybe Clay's lying. Maybe they did buy it from him.
That's a hard way to make $60, Chester. Sell some land and then get hold of the deed and tear it up and then go to court and so on.
Yes, sir, it sure don't make sense.
Especially since they all admit the land's not much good.
Well, somebody's lying.
Yeah, but there's no way of proving who. Anyway, the law's on Clay's side, Chester. And I'll go with you. We'll tell him 1 week. And I hope nobody gets killed in this. Well, what are you doing in here, Kitty?
Hello, Matt. Sit down.
I was supposed to meet Chester here. I thought I was in the wrong place when I saw you.
I got tired of the Texas Trail, Matt. Thought the Elephaganza might change my luck.
Are you going to work here from now on?
From now on's a long time, Matt. Yes, Chester, just came in.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Well, I'll give him time for a beer.
I was talking to him this afternoon. He says you're taking on the Beatles tomorrow.
Yeah, they've had their week.
From what I hear of them, I sure don't envy you that job.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it, Kitty.
I met Jim Beetle once. He's a tough old turkey.
Well, I wish I knew whether he's a liar or not.
It's hard to tell with a man like that. He's a darn thin brain.
Well, he's still smart enough to be a liar.
So's Clay.
Yeah?
Play's no killer, though. But I'll bet it wouldn't keep old Beetle awake night shooting somebody.
No, I don't think it would. But why all this trouble over some land that neither of them think is any good?
Maybe they're both crazy.
You know, I'm beginning to think they are, Kitty. Hey. Hey, what's the matter, Kitty? You want some water? Huh?
Oh. I'll be all right.
Well, what started that?
I don't know, Matt. Suddenly got a whiff of something. Like breathing the fumes off a match. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Kitty, that's the best cough you ever had.
Well, I'm glad you like it.
No, I mean for me it was.
Oh, that makes sense.
Chester's finished his beer. We got some work to do.
Good luck with the Beatles tomorrow, Matt.
I think we'll have it, Kitty. Thanks to you. So long.
I do wish there was a moon tonight, Mr. Dillon.
A man can get shot in the moonlight, Chester.
Well, the Beatles ain't going to shoot us if we can't even find them.
Well, it's right ahead of us. We better go afoot from here.
Yes, sir.
You got everything, Chester?
I've got the bag of sulfur and saddle blanket, Mr. Dillon.
Okay, now here's what we'll do. We'll sneak around back of the hut, and I'll help you up onto the roof.
That ridgepole might not prove stout enough for me and all that sod on it, too. What if it busts through, Mr. Dillon?
Well, if it does, we're in trouble.
You mean I'm in trouble?
You're lighter than I am, Chester.
Okay, sir.
Now, there are only two openings in that hut, the door and the stovepipe.
So far, they is.
Look, if it's medals you want, Chester, you better go back to the Army.
Well, forevermore, can't a man complain just a little?
Yeah, sure, but later, huh? We're wasting time. Now, when you get up on the roof, you crawl over to the stovepipe. Pour that bag of sulfur down it. The coals in their stove will do the rest.
Then I'll cover the pipe with this saddle blanket and just make it worse for him, huh?
That's right. I'll be waiting near the door for him. But you jump down and be ready to help me in case they come out fighting.
This is going to make them awful mad, Mr. Dillon. You know what burning sulfur does to you.
Well, I know what it does to Kitty. Well, you all set?
Much as I'll ever be.
I helped Chester up onto the roof and then moved around to the door and waited. My biggest worry was whether the Beatles would have time and think fast enough to come out armed and ready for trouble. The only thing I was sure of was that they'd come out. Sulfur fumes could drive a she-bear away from her young. I was thinking about that when I heard them inside. Okay, Chester, they left their rifles. Come on down.
Get in here!
Well, jump!
I can't see you.
Beetle, you and your wife stay right there.
It's a marshal, clear.
What the hell was on the roof?
Montclair is getting a horse.
You don't have to run. Nobody's going to hurt you.
Come on, hurry.
I found my gun.
They weren't shooting so
come on out of there, Chester. You hurt?
Well, I had my leg caught, but I got loose. I knew that doggone thing wouldn't hold.
You're limping. How bad are you hurt?
Oh, I just bruised it. It ain't nothing. Where's the Beatles?
That's them.
You mean they got away?
Oh, we weren't trying to arrest them, Chester. All I wanted was to get them outside unarmed so I could make them pack up and move out.
Well, they've moved out. What with that roof all busted in? Oh, ain't it a mess?
Now, we'll carry out what stuff of theirs we can and load it on that wagon. They can pick it up and dodge.
Tonight?
No. We'll camp here tonight. Do it in the morning.
I don't know about them Beatles, Mr. Dillon. They ain't gonna quit this easy.
Maybe not. But at least we got them out in the open.
I'm thinking it was more comfortable when they wasn't out in the open, Mr. Dillon.
Thank you.
This is it. L&M filters. This is it.
Light and mild.
Coast to coast. Smokers are saying.
Better tasting filter tip cigarette.
This is it.
L&M filters. L&M filters with the miracle tip.
Never before have smokers spoken so enthusiastically about a cigarette and backed up their words with record-breaking sales.
Dorothy Kilgallen, the famous columnist, said, "There's nothing like L&M's filter. Gives you more flavor, too."
And this from actor Maurice Evans. "My doctor suggested this filter. I recommend it to you as the best."
Mrs. Charles Evans Hughes III told us, "Your L&M has the perfect filter. What a wonderful smoke you get."
Yes, it's the filter that counts. And no filter compares with L&M's miracle tip for quality or effectiveness. Our statement of quality goes unchallenged. L&M is America's highest quality and best filter cigarette.
Join the trend to L&M.
L&M, king size or regular.
And both at the same low price.
Evening, Doc.
Sit down and help me watch Front Street, Matt.
Okay, Doc, I'll join you for a while.
Yeah.
Well, you got nothing better to do than sit out on the hotel porch here and stare at your fellow man?
Fellow man? Oh, not my fellow man. All I have in common with most of these thieves and scallywags is fingers and toes and bones and skin and things like that.
I thought doctors were supposed to like people.
Oh, yeah, well, who told you that? Some hard rock miner? Yeah, what does a miner know about doctors?
You make it tough, Doc.
I make what tough?
Talk.
Well, I heard about how you talked the Beatles into getting off Clay's land out at Stone Point. Oh, you did real fine there.
Well, we got them off anyway. They came into Dodge for their belongings this afternoon.
Yes, I saw them, too. Oh, those poor... what are they going to do now?
Find some land of their own, maybe.
You don't believe their story?
I'm an agent of the law, Doc. It doesn't matter whether I believe it or not. The law demands proof. And they didn't have any.
Oh, I understand, Matt. That's right down the street, Matt.
Yeah. You better come, too, Doc.
It's a little early in the evening for shooting, isn't it?
Who told you that, Doc? Some hard rock miner?
Well, I guess you're right, Matt.
Yeah. Well, anyway, maybe it's just some cowboy trying to bring down the moon.
Well, there isn't any moon. Besides, there's a crowd up there, too.
What happened, Chester?
Oh, I seen the whole thing. I wasn't 30 feet off. I was standing back there talking to Mr. Green about
his broken window. What
happened, Chester? Yes, it's Clay, Mr. Dillon. Oh. You better get up there, Doc. Looked like he was shot bad.
Who shot him?
Jim Beadle. He walked right up to him on the street there and pulled out a gun and shot him twice.
Where's Beadle now?
That first alley, he ran up there.
Doc, go take care of Clay.
Yes, I'm going.
You come with me, Chester.
Yes, sir.
Here we are. All right, you wait here, Chester. Unless he gets me.
Okay, Mr. Dillon.
Don't you come no closer, Marshal.
You killed one man, Beadle. That's enough.
Kill me a lot of men if I have to.
Beadle, throw your gun out.
I told you, don't you come no closer.
I have to, Beadle. Wait there, Chester.
You get him, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah. I got him. Find a couple of men and go take him up to Doc's, will you?
Well, here's Doc now.
Yes, oh, was somebody else been killed here?
Beetle, Doc. He tried to shoot Mr. Dillon.
Clay's dead, huh, Doc?
Yes, he was killed instantly, Matt. Two bullets right through his chest.
Well, I guess the law wasn't much help to him after all.
Well, you did what you could, Matt.
Marshal Dillon.
Yeah.
My name's Keller, Marshal. I'm an agent for the Santa Fe Railroad.
Okay, Keller, but if you want to talk, come to see me at my office later. A couple of men have just been killed here.
It's Clay I want to talk about, Marshal.
Oh?
Yeah. His land out of Stone Point.
What's your interest in Stone Point?
The railroad's planning ahead, Marshal. We want to build a station at Stone Point. I came out here to close the deal with Clay.
Close the deal? You mean you've already talked to Clay about this?
Oh, over a month ago, Marshal. He said he owned all but 40 acres and was going to get that back.
Oh, I see.
Well, we didn't want to buy his land. All we wanted from him was a free lease for where the station will stand. Well, that was fair enough, don't you think? The station there, Stone Point land, will become pretty valuable.
Yeah. Look, you come see me at noon tomorrow, Mr. Keller, and I'll have the rightful owner of that land in my office.
But I don't understand.
At noon tomorrow, huh?
Oh, okay, Marshal. Good night.
Chester.
Yes, sir.
Let's go find Miss Beetle. And tell her that Stone Point belongs to her. I know it's too late and I don't suppose it'll do any good, but I want to tell her how sorry I am.
Yes, sir. That'd make me feel better, too, Mr. Dillon.
And now our star, William Conrad.
If you're smoking a filter tip cigarette, I'm certain you'll enjoy L&M filters, either king size or regular. L&M's give you much more flavor, much less nicotine. They're just what the doctor ordered. Try them, king size or regular, both at the same low price.
Transcribed under the direction of Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin, Harry Bartell, Jeanette Nolan, and Joe Cranston. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNair is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Hear Gunsmoke every Saturday, this same time, this same station. Hear the great new Perry Como radio show every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, also on CBS Radio.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
That's it for this week, but we'll be back next week with some more great old-time radio, and I hope you can join us. Till then.